One of my favorite days is the free dump days at the city landfill. Isn't that awesome? You weren't expecting that, were you? And one of the things you notice when you go up to the dump is a warning sign telling you that there's an electric fence in place. The warning is there, do not touch. And it's not the sort of thing that you want to go and play around. I have not had any personal experience with electric fences, but the warnings themselves are enough to keep me at a safe distance away from them. And really, whenever there is a potential hazard, there should be, and there often is, a warning sign. It's for our own good. It's for our own protection. And in the Bible, we find various warning signs in different places that are given to us for our own good. It's kind of like the do not touch sign at an electric fence. One of his warnings to us is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to read it in just a moment, beginning at verse 9. But before I read it, just to give you the context of this, the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan. They were about to enter a new stage in their lives, figuratively and literally. God had brought them through many different difficulties, many different storms, and all of that was about to be in their past. Wow, isn't that great? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of us who would love to think, I'd love to put the past in the past and leave it there and turn a new chapter in life. And for the Israelites, they were about to enter into a new chapter in their lives. They were going to go into from the desert into a land flowing with milk and honey, a prosperous land. But it was also a dangerous land. It was dangerous because of the sin that was so present in that land. And so God gave them a warning. And this is what he said. Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. He says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. You know, it often starts off with curiosity. We say that curiosity killed the cat. Many people, both men and women, have gone down a slippery slope because of curiosity towards some sin. Curiosity towards something that looks appealing. Curiosity towards something maybe that is online. I just want to see what it's like. I just want to wonder what would happen. I just want to get a glimpse. I just want to have a taste. I just want to try a little bit. And the people in the Old Testament days were no different than we are today. God knew it, so he warned them. Don't get curious about what's going on in the land you're about to go into. Don't get involved in the practices that you are going to witness. You see, God knew that they would be fascinated. Who wouldn't be fascinated by the mysterious? The things that they would see and hear. And God knew man's desires in his heart to know and control the future. And so God gave them a warning. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Pretty strong words, and yet it wasn't the only time that God gave such a warning. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31 says, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them." You will be defiled by them. Your participation will defile you. It'll mess you up. And then it says, "I am the Lord, your God." In other words, what God is saying is, don't turn to them. Turn to me. I'm your God. The following chapter, Leviticus 20, verse 6, it says, "I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people." What powerful language. You know, sometimes we wonder, why are things so rough? And I know this isn't the answer to every difficult situation by any means, but it certainly is in some cases where the Lord says, "I will set my face against these persons who inevitably prostitute themselves by following or turning to mediums and spiritists." That's strong language. Prostituting yourself. Perhaps that's why there were such severe consequences. You remember the story of Saul, of course. It was in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and Saul was facing a battle with the Philistines, and they had come, they set up camp against him. And when Saul saw the Philistine army, he became afraid. He became terrified. The Bible says that terror filled his heart. It was desperate. Desperate times. And Saul probably thought, well, if only Samuel was here. Samuel has led us in the past. He has told us what to do. He's shown us which way to go. Samuel has helped us and led us to victory. If we can only get a hold of Samuel, we can do something. Well, Saul couldn't come up with a plan. And he'd gone to the Lord, and the Lord didn't give him an answer. And so he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to try. He wishes Samuel was there. He's under pressure. But of course, Samuel is already dead at this point. The Philistine army is coming. The pressure is on. What am I going to do? So finally, Saul can take it no more. He goes looking for a psychic to help bring Samuel back so he can have a chat with Samuel. And that's when things get worse for Saul. Saul had already known the warnings of God. He knew it was wrong. In fact, he had already forbidden any mediums or divination and that kind of stuff in the land. He had expelled them. If there were any that were still in the land, they were working undercover. In obedience to the Lord, Saul had tried to get rid of such people, but in his desperation, he went out looking for one. And he found one. And through that person, he contacted Samuel. I wish that story had a different ending. I wish that, you know, the story said that Saul got a hold of this medium and to contact Samuel, but it was all a fraud, and some voice behind the curtain spoke, and none of it was really real, and Samuel went home, and nothing really happened. But that's not what happened. Saul actually did communicate with Samuel through this medium, and he received some pretty bad news through it. And the point is that while there are many false or fake psychics around, palm readers, tarot card readers, there's also a very real power out and about. There is a real power, and it isn't coming from God. As a result of his messing with the mediums, God rejected Saul, and Saul died in battle. And the point I want to make this morning is simply that God takes this sort of thing seriously. It's not a joke or a laughing matter to him. And so much so that God says to those who engage in this sort of practice, he says, I turn my face against them. That's pretty strong. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, reiterated the same principle that Saul had learned the hard way. Isaiah warned the people, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Which, again, goes back to what the Lord said. Do not turn to mediums and spiritists, because I am the Lord, your God. You don't need to go there. And in so many ways, today in our culture, all the various forms of the occult is depicted in such a positive light. It's made to look fun. It's just a game or interesting. I'm curious how that works. And in many cases, it is powerful. But God warns us, God's word warns us, it's also deadly, and that we need to use discretion and lots of it. And really, the bottom line through God's word in many places is that there is no place in our lives in the Christian faith for the occult and its many different forms, whether it's consulting the dead, fortune tellers, horoscopes, Ouija boards, tarot cards, you name it. There's all kinds of things out there. There's probably more than we could probably list in half an hour. I don't know. But God's word is saying that all these sorts of things is kind of a spiritual adultery. That's what it boils down to, adultery, spiritual adultery. The Lord says, I am your God. Why mess with something else? Well, I don't really believe it, but why flirt with it? I am the Lord, your God. You see, once you begin to mess in these areas, it often goes down a slippery slope. And we become obsessed by them. And what I'm here to share with you this morning is that there is a response we can have. And it begins, first of all, by recognizing that any involvement into darkness and the powers of darkness is contrary to God's plan. There is no game with it. We need to confess it as sin. Whenever we sin, whatever the sin, the only resolution is confession. If we hide our sin, it just festers and grows. And it makes us weak physically. It destroys us physically as well as spiritually and mentally. All sin begins, the resolution of it begins with confession. I confessed my sin. Until there is confession, there won't be forgiveness and there won't be any deliverance. We'll even be blind to it. We'll think it's, what's the big deal? It's kind of like we don't even understand. We must start with confession and repentance. That's the beginning. And secondly, we need to be careful not to hang on to any of the stuff that comes with it. Case in point I'm thinking of is a story in Acts chapter 19 and the people in Ephesus. Ephesus, by the way, was a center for that kind of stuff, black magic and all kinds of occultic practices. The people in Ephesus had recipes, for lack of better words, for a magical formulas, for all kinds of things, wealth, happiness, success. Superstition and sorcery were very common in Ephesus. However, there was a time when God got a hold of the people's lives and some incredible changes happened. People recognized their sin. They confessed their sin. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 18, it says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. It's not an easy thing to do, to say, I was wrong. And not only did they confess their sins, they did something else. Verse 19 says, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachma. Whatever that is, right? Well, turns out a drachma is roughly a day's wages. That's a lot of scrolls. That's a lot of scrolls. That's a lot of financial value. 50,000 days wages. Just to put that into little context, if you were to work 6 days a week, just got one day off, which many of you I'm sure do, it would take you 160 years to come up with 50,000 drachmas. Okay, so we're talking about quite a valuable asset that they burned. And the reason why they burned it is because it wasn't just neutral, it was harmful. They couldn't just give it to somebody else. They couldn't sell it on the market. They did the only thing that was fit for them. They burned them. That takes commitment, sacrifice. You see, it's not enough to say, you know, maybe it wasn't a good idea messing with such and such. We need to get rid of it. We need to do away with it. Whether it's books, literature, movies, games, cards, any other paraphernalia, there's no place for us. And in some cases, it would mean breaking off any relationship with people who have influenced you towards the occult. So there is something we can do. First, we need to confess it. Second, we need to get rid of whatever there is. And thirdly, we need to pray for complete restoration and deliverance. We believe the teaching in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, which says, "You, dear children, are from God and overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." You see, the one who is in the world, the powers of the darkness in the world is real, and it is powerful. But if we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, his power then comes to work within us. There is a process there. But that's the deliverance we can look for and pray for and receive. And so I want to encourage you today. And the reason why I encourage you is not because I'm worried that somebody here is messing with that kind of stuff, but it's so prevalent in our world. And it's so insidious, and we can easily be drawn to some aspect of it, not even paying attention to what we're doing. And so we need to be on our guard. We need to stand firm. We need to be on the watch. And if we have at any time messed with any of these things, then we need to put that behind us. We do need to confess that. We do need to get rid of any of that part of our lives and ask God for his power to come within us. You see, God has given us his warning. I totally believe his warning applies to us just as it did for God's people back then. The occult seems harmless, interesting, maybe even fun, curious. But God's word is clear. Any such involvement is dangerous and deadly. We'd better off to take the advice in Hebrews 2, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, so that we can run our race for the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our God, Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we want to thank you, Lord, for your work. Father God, the message this morning is quite serious, quite strong, quite dangerous. But Father God, we believe that your power by far exceeds any of the power in this dark world, Lord God. And so we come to you. And I pray, Father God, that if anybody here has struggled or been involved in any of the occultic practices in our world, I pray, Father God, that you'd help each one of them just in the quietness of this moment, just to confess that to you and say, "Lord, I have messed up in this area. I am so sorry. I need you to forgive me." Father God, wherever we've fallen short, I pray that you'd help us to come to you, to seek you, and to receive from you forgiveness and grace and restoration. Father God, the battle is not ours, it is yours. And so, Lord, we come to you. We give ourselves to you just now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.